Arthur, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
I'm great. What can you tell us about John Tavares and an illness? It's not an injury, right?
No. He was just really sick. Talked to him today after we all traveled up here to Montreal for a game tomorrow against the Canadiens, and sounded back to his normal self. I think he's a few pounds lighter, but he was basically quarantined in his home for the weekend. Felt terrible when he woke up Saturday morning, and just took a long time to recover. One of those things, just really sick. I think there was a little bit more mystery about it than there should have been, with the Islanders kind of keeping coy during that afternoon game in Newark against the Devils right when he got sick. But turned out to be a bad case of cold, flu, whatever you want to call it, and he's on the mend.
So, I mean, relatively speaking, short term, he's been going great guns, given he's only played 10 of the 13 games. Real nice start for him. He's looked very good when he's healthy.
He has. He's scored the first regular season goal in the Barclays Center, and that was pretty fitting because it's his building now. You know, he was off to a very good start, producing a lot, even with kind of some changes around him on the top line. He started with Ryan Strome and Anders Lee. Those two guys didn't really mesh very well with him. There's been a couple of different guys he's played with, and it hasn't really mattered. He just produces no matter who he plays with, and he was certainly going off like that the first few games of the season.
Arthur, talk a little bit about the Barclays Center. Big transition year. You know, when you're at the old rink, even though there's tons of tradition there, and that's where the great Islanders teams played, we know there were, you know, its day had come. Now you go to this, the new rink. How's it been so far? Is there a buzz around there, and are people coming?
People are not coming. I liken it to, any of the previous 4 or 5 years I covered the Islanders at the Coliseum before the final season last year. You know, when the team was not very good, it was pretty empty unless there was a visiting team that brought some fans in. We had the Bruins in a couple weeks ago at Barclays, and that, you know, was a little bit more crowded than usual, and a few Bruins fans. The Devils were there last night. A lot of fans came in from Jersey. Buffalo was there. There were a lot of Sabres fans. So, you know, it hasn't quite developed the cachet that I think the Barclays folks would have liked to start off the season. October is traditionally a very tough month for the Islanders to draw fans. Even last season, they were below capacity until they got started to look really good and get into November and December. And you couple it with a lot of crossover with Mets fans, and the World Series might have, you know, coincided with a few home games. So there's a few things working against them, but I think the main thing is that this is not an arena that's state-of-the-art a hockey arena. It's a state-of-the-art basketball arena, and there's a lot of obstructed seats. There's a lot of odd-facing seats that cost a little bit more than they did out at the old Coliseum. So, you know, it's definitely a work in progress. The partnership between the Islanders and Barclays Center is one that takes a little bit of getting used to, where the Islanders control their own marketing and ticket sales for a long, long time. So there's just a lot of pieces that need to be put into place. And I think, reminding fans and everyone out there that this was not a move designed to maximize the Islanders fan base. This was desperation to keep them in the area. This was the only building they could find after they got, you know, rejected a few times out of Nassau. So, it's not ideal, but it's home, and they're trying to make the best of it.
Well, I watched some of the pictures of the sight lines on online, and I was amazed actually at how bad some of them were. Is that going to be the long term? Is there any options of them to fix that moving forward to make it better sight lines for some of those seats?
I don't think so. You know, it would involve a major financial commitment from Barclays, and they're already paying a certain amount every year to the Islanders. I don't think they're going to retrofit their arena to make things work. It's just, like I said, this is far from ideal. You know, we call it Plan B. It feels more like Plan F or something. That there were so many other things that the Islanders wanted to do, that Charles Wong wanted to do in Nassau County. He was turned away by politicians. There was a public referendum that was voted down for public money, and this is where we are. You know, it's the fact that the team is at a stage now, and it's rebuild, where it's a good team, mm-hmm. and people should want to come out to see it. Maybe that will change things as the season gets a little deeper and they develop a little bit more of that cachet in Brooklyn, and maybe there's some new fans who want to come see a good team, or the, you know, the old diehards finally give in and come in from Long Island. But even when the place is full, it's going to look funny on TV. So I think people just have to get used to it being a bit of a different building.
Arthur, the Metropolitan Division is tight. There's good clubs in there, and this is one of them. I mean, the Islanders can score some. The goaltending and defense has looked pretty good so far. This is a team with some dimension and some ability. How do you rate them so far early in the season?
You know, I think considering how they've played, which is pretty inconsistently over the first 13 games, sitting where they sit is a bit of an accomplishment. I think a lot of it has to do with Thomas Greiss, who they brought in the offseason, one of the few guys they brought in to back up Yaro Halak, and Halak was injured for the first week of the season, and Greiss played really well. He was able to get in a rhythm, which backup goaltenders don't always get at the start of the season. And I think he proved that he can be a worthy substitute for Halak when they need him. And then when Halak came back, he was ready to go. You know, he had a bit of a slow start his first year on the island last year. And, you know, it was certainly some worry. And he picked it up in fine fashion, set a franchise record for wins last year. But this year, two shutouts in his first four games, and they only gave up a goal to the Devils last night. He looked very sharp. So I think the interplay between the two goaltenders has been good, and they've really – you know, rescued some points for this team when they have been inconsistent. I think they were able to score a lot the first couple of weeks and give up a lot, which was kind of their bugaboo last year. And then in these last few games, especially with Tavares out, obviously you think they're going to struggle to score with their best player out. But they haven't given up a whole lot. They've been going back to the template that they had when they were going really well last year, which is not giving up a lot of chances, not giving up a lot of shots, you know, clearing the front of the net, trying to play the transition game that they like to play. But you know, it's the offense is always going to be there for this team, especially when Tavares gets back in the lineup. Their defense and special teams, which have been quite good the last couple weeks, I think has really helped them get where they are, which is as you said, right in the mix with the good teams in the division.
The Islanders are right in that mix. The Metropolitan with the Rangers and the Capitals and the Penguins, you know, it's a tough division. And those four teams right now, I think most people would think are going to be the four teams that make the playoffs, barring potentially, I guess, a crossover from one of the teams in the Atlantic. New Jersey and Philadelphia are just, you know, and Columbus, because they're just floundering this season. They're not good enough. Same with Carolina, I don't think, to really push those other top four teams. So really, the Islanders, how much importance do you put on home ice advantage in that division?
I think it's pretty big. You know, they haven't really faced any of those top teams yet. We haven't seen Washington, haven't seen Pittsburgh or the Rangers yet. You know, Montreal is really the first top-level Eastern Conference team that the Islanders will play, and it's obviously up here. They've been pretty good at home. You know, it's John Tavares was pretty vocal about the ice situation on opening night. A few players have talked to me off the record about just having to get used to ice that's very springy and bouncy, and they've got lively boards, so it's a funny combination of, you know, the puck tends to slow down quite a bit when you're trying to reverse field or get out in transition, but if it goes off the boards, it could go anywhere, and they've scored a couple of goals, you know, shots off the end boards that kick right back out in front. So I think they've learned kind of the quirks of the building, and obviously that's going to be a disadvantage for teams that only come in once or twice a year. So I think that's playing to their advantage, that this is, you know, a funky new place for everybody to come into. Everybody always used to know what they were getting when they came to the Coliseum, and nobody was terribly happy about it as a visiting team or even some of the fans, the old rundown place. This is a little different, a lot newer. The ice is a little funkier, and, you know, despite some of the complaints, I think the Islanders can use it to their advantage, and they've been very good at home so far.
Arthur, out here, obviously, and in the West in general, headline of the day is the long-term injury to Connor McDavid. Sometimes during the season, because we don't see you guys as much as we'd like to, there's a bit of a disconnect. How big a ripple does the long-term McDavid injury, has it made out there?
You know, I think people pay attention to it. When I was talking to John Tavares today about his own illness, and how what time he's missed. I asked him, you know, he's a guy who watches a lot of hockey, and I'm sure he pays attention certainly to the guys like McDavid. And he said, you know, everybody feels terrible. He really thought that McDavid was getting into a rhythm and really starting to understand the pace and, you know, get a feel for the NHL game. And obviously that first year, you know, for Tavares, he struggled a lot and his team struggled a lot, but it was very important for his development. And it's, you know, he understands how hard it is to pick it back up after you've been hurt for a while, especially your first year. But, you know, he said, knowing Connor a little bit as he does and what a good special player he is, he feels like even just in his recovery, he'll be able to learn a lot. And, you know, being around practices, being around his teammates, being in meetings, you know, that's all part of becoming an NHL player and part of becoming a superstar, which Tavares is and which certainly McDavid will be if he's not already. So I think, you know, everybody pays attention to that sort of thing when it happens, and it's nobody wants to see it happen, you know, even out here, even the competitors against the Oilers, because this is a special young man and will be for a long time, but you wanted to see what he could do in his rookie year.
Well, Arthur, I guess the saving grace for Islander fans is, you know, you would think McDavid will be back in the lineup because the Islanders don't come to Edmonton until late February, and the Oilers, I think, are in Long Island in early February on the 7th, I think it is. So if we're going off of 12 weeks as worst-case scenario for McDavid, you know, he would be back right before then. So I guess that's one of the saving graces. The Islander fan base won't be one that misses their opportunity for to see his only visit of the season.
Yeah, it'll be, you know, when you get those odd trips in from the Western Conference teams, and we've already had, you know, visits from Winnipeg and Calgary and San Jose, which unfortunately don't draw a lot of fans out here, especially, like I said, early in the season when there's lots of other sports to draw the attention of the New York sports fan. But I think by February, you know, with Connor McDavid, if it's one of his first or second games back, I think a lot of people out here will want to see what he has to offer in person. So that should be exciting.
You betcha. As always, Arthur, we appreciate the rundown. We'll talk to you throughout the year.
You got it, guys. Anytime. Thanks a lot.